Welcome back to another episode of 5 a.m. Theology. This week we got to Judges 6, 1 to 2, and I'll read it here. It says, "The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds." Rose, when I read that this year, the first thing that stuck out to me was that sometimes, even when we belong to Christ, we can act in the same way that these Israelites did when we sin. Sometimes we build dens and strongholds in our minds where we hide out because of our guilt, our fear, our shame, and we just keep mauling it over. Sometimes over and over and over again, even after we've repented and asked God for forgiveness of it. And it's oppressive when we do that. Sometimes we confess the same instance we sinned over and over and over again, but that's not what we should do.
No, it's not what we should do. And you're right. We can easily get in that guilt and shame mode and not get out of it. What we should do is confess our sin to God and repent, like you said. That's the point of the good news of the gospel. And we're never going to be totally sinless in this life. Paul talks about his struggle with sin in Romans 7. And if Paul's struggling with sin, then we're definitely not getting over it. We desire righteousness, but because of that lingering sin nature that we still have, we also desire sin. And let's be honest, Chris, if sin wasn't attractive, we would never sin. There's still an attractiveness of sin to us.
Yep.
And sometimes we're going to give in. But the worst thing we can do is wallow in the fact that we did. Micah 7:18 says, "Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in steadfast love."
God loves us. He's both the just and the justifier of all who believe in Christ. Jesus paid for those sins. He suffered for them already so that we could be free. We might have confessed our sin, repented, truly understand in our minds that we're forgiven, and yet truly believe we are and still have feelings of guilt. And we need to stop it.
Chris, we did an episode on No Trash, Just Truth, episode 31, Living with Regret, on this very thing. It's good that we understand we're forgiven, but we're still not where we need to be with God if we only know that in our minds and we let our feelings rule us. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." For a believer to keep confessing the same instance, the same sin, unless they've committed it again, then they need to, but the same sin over and over again, or to keep feeling oppressed and shamed by it, is acting according to your feelings, and it's putting your feelings above the truth of God's word.
It is. We are promised in the Bible that if we truly repent of our sin and confess it to God, he will forgive. And we have to believe that and go forward as if we had not sinned. Remember, God's word is the objective thing that we're to believe and trust in. Our feelings are not that.
Satan loves to accuse us of our sin. He's our enemy, and he loves to keep God's children hiding out in dark dens and caves of feelings of guilt and shame when Christ has already purchased and paid for our freedom. Staying stuck in oppressive feelings keeps us away from the Lord. It doesn't bring us closer. Pride goes either way, and wallowing in shame is a sense of pride.
It is.
In fact, it's sinful. We're sinning when we do this because it's unbelief. And Chris, it's spitting in the face of what Jesus did on the cross. It's saying to him, "It's not enough. I need the cross plus my feelings of shame to be forgiven."
Right. It's like saying, "I need to pay some of it myself."
That's right.
By feeling oppressed and keeping myself feeling this way.
I need to earn forgiveness.
Yeah. And you know, Rose, I heard somebody a long time ago say in front of somebody else something about they're not happy that Peter denied Christ, but it gives them some comfort to see that he was restored. And the person like jumped on them because they felt any comfort in that. And I feel the same way they do. Like, I'm not comfort because Peter sinned, but comfort that he was restored and went on. Yes. That's a great example. He denied Jesus three times and God knew he was going to do it. Jesus told him, you're going to do it. Satan's going to sift you. You're going to do it. And he prayed for him to be restored and he was. And then the Lord restored him to what he was meant to go and do. And we need to be the same way.
One of my favorite words from that passage is when Jesus is telling him that he's going to deny him and Satan has to sift him. Jesus says, when you are restored. Jesus had already planned for his restoration.
Yep.
Peter hadn't even sinned yet. And Jesus had already planned for the restoration.
I know. And it's amazing to think that way. But you are so right when you say it's sinful to stay stuck here. And when I got to this passage, I just thought how often we all do this sometimes. And it took Israel 7 years that time to cry out to the Lord for help from their oppressors. When we read through Judges, there's longer times they wait to cry out to the Lord. Those years they wait should stick out to us as a reminder against doing the same thing. We might not wait 7 years, but why wait 7 days or even 7 hours to confess your sin and remember that God loves you and then get off your knees and move on? Move on doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Yes.
Jesus died for that sin and you are a forgiven child of the Most High God. Doing that does not mean you're taking your sin lightly. It means that you're believing God and not believing Satan or your feelings.
That's a great place to end today. Have a blessed morning, everyone.